Bookstore Explorer is brought to you in part by the Bookshop Bungalow at Plot Twist Books. Have you ever wanted to spend the night in a bookstore? With the Bookshop Bungalow, now you can. Located just minutes from Charleston, West Virginia, the Bookshop Bungalow is a book lover's retreat, a private room inside an actual working bookshop. Each stay comes with a used book credit, employee pricing on new books and gifts, and an honorary staff pick of your choice added to our inventory. Learn more and book your stay now at plottwistbooks.com. Welcome to Bookstore Explorer, the show where we go behind the shelves with booksellers to celebrate the magic of independent bookstores. I'm author and bookseller Matt Browning. This week, we head to Albuquerque, New Mexico to visit a store that's been serving its community for 40 years. Co-owner Shannon Gwynn Collins and store manager Robert Flippo take us behind the shelves of Bookworks. We discuss the store's long history, some of the amazing authors who have passed through its doors, and a recent change to an LLC structure for ownership. So come along as we go bookstore exploring. Well, hello. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming on to Bookstore Explorer. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having me.
I was saying, you know, before we hit record that you're my first New Mexico shop. So thank you very much for being the first ones.
We're honored to be representing it.
So we start each episode with sort of a virtual description walkthrough, if you will, of the shop so that our listeners can kind of get a vision for themselves of your store. So whoever wants to go for it,
I just
walked into the store and kind of walk us around.
All right. So our store is about 2,700 square feet. We've got two entrances. There's like a south and a north entrance. The north goes into, there's a restaurant and cafe next to us. So it kind of goes into there. The south entrance just kind of goes into the rest of the shopping center. We've got a big like window display that takes up about half of the like parking lot facing window. We try to rotate that out, you know, once or twice a month to have like nice seasonal displays there. And then when you walk into the store, there's kind of, our office like hugs the back wall, which then kind of, it splits the store into like the north half and the south half. The north half has nonfiction. And so the bookshelves are up against the wall, kind of wrapping around the wall. And then we've got display tables, for like nonfiction bestsellers and then rotating displays as well. And then, in the middle of the store, there's like our big like round table display. That's kind of our primary monthly display. And then next to that is there are two big bookshelves on one wall. And that's where we have our staff picks all the time. And then on the other side of that round table, there's a fireplace that we have, which is very nice. And then on the south half of the store, that's where we're going to have fiction and then the kids section. So again, the bookstores kind of hug the walls. And then on like the southwest side is where we've got kids. So we've got picture books, board books, middle grade, nonfiction, all that in one area. And then on the southeast side, we've got a corner that's kind of like the genre corner where you've got science fiction and fantasy, which is my domain. And then we've got graphic novels, mystery, horror there. And then we've got four bays of fiction. That's kind of the big driving point over there, and then poetry and young adult. So that's really kind of the layout of the store. It's not gigantic, but we've really done our best to, have a lot of displays to make it interesting to walk around while keeping it feeling open. So that you can see all the way throughout the store and see, you know, where you want to go.
About how many books do you have in stock? Do you know?
Oh, gosh. Not offhand. We definitely should have looked that up beforehand.
That's a common answer when I ask that question.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember when we did.
We just did inventory.
We did inventory, yeah. And it was like, I don't know, we had like 15,000 like items.
Okay.
But that's including sidelines. So
but probably about 70% of our stock is books and about 30% is gift items and so on.
Is it all new books or do you carry used books as well? Or
almost entirely new. We do a small selection of used books, but our focus is really on new books.
Okay.
And going to the physical layout of the store, we also interspersed throughout the store on one on the back wall and then near one of the entrances, we have two murals by a local artist that we really love that definitely add to kind of the character and the warmth of the store as well.
I'll bet. So between that and the fireplace, I mean, it's probably a pretty inviting kind of atmosphere, huh?
We like to think so. There's also, you know, armchairs scattered throughout and lots of little corners where you can hang out for a while.
Now, I was doing my homework, reading about the history of the shop, and this year is the 40th year for the store. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. So we'll be doing a big celebration this fall to celebrate the 40th birthday of the store.
Now, I don't know if you had ties to it or when you came about, but can you go back to the beginning and tell us a little bit about how it got started 40 years ago?
We'll work our way forward. I can speak a little bit to the original history of the store. So it was started in October of 1984 by a woman named Nancy Rutland, who was a member of the community. She's still here. I actually had lunch with her last week. And she knows so much about the business. It's really amazing. And she owned the store up until about 2010, 2011, really established it as a major part of the community. Albuquerque for a long time had really more independent bookstores than we should have for a town of this size. We had a wealth of independent stores when I was growing up, and they kind of all gradually closed over the years, unfortunately. But Bookworks is one of the last remaining and oldest independent bookstores in Albuquerque. So Nancy saw it through the first about 25 years or so, and then it was owned by a couple, Danielle and Wyatt, starting in 2010, 2011, right about then, who bought it from her. They'd been working at the store for quite a long time. And then they decided that they were ready to step away in fall of 2022. And so that's when I became one of the new owners right at the beginning of 2023. So the new ownership at this point, my mom and I are actually the primary owners of the store. So we're the ones that people will see on a regular basis. We're the ones kind of really actively involved in making decisions. But the store at this point is community owned. So it's such an important part of our city and such an important of the literary and arts landscape here in Albuquerque that a lot of people learned that the store was being sold and wanted it to stay here, wanted to help keep it alive and thriving for hopefully decades to come. And so they came forward and invested in the store. So as kind of silent behind the scenes partners to make sure that it can stay here.
Well, I was reading a little bit about that. So it's owned by like an LLC that's made up of like 15 people, I think it said.
Yeah.
So is that a pretty smooth, you know,
so way to far, operate? So far, yeah. So as I said, my mom and I were the majority owners and we're the ones who are really here all the time and in the business and running it. And then we actually tomorrow have our annual spring meeting where we get together and kind of share everything that's been going on and keep everybody up to date with developments in the store, the successes over the last year and all of that good stuff.
I think I heard you say that you grew up in the area. Did you shop at the store when you were a kid?
Yeah, so this was my neighborhood store when I was a kid. So that's where some of my ties to it come from. I remember seeing Brian Jakes, the author of Redwall, here when I was in probably elementary school. And so I remember just being in this incredible crowd of kids and sitting on the floor kind of at his feet listening to him talk. So I have very fond childhood memories of Bookworks.
Did you think at that time that someday I want to grow up and own the place or be a bookseller, or how did that come about for you?
I like to say that owning a bookstore was always on the short list of like crazy dream jobs that I told myself were way too impractical for a number of years. And so when the opportunity came up about a little over a year ago now, it was one of those moments where I was in a position where I sort of had to take that chance. And so when my mom and I were talking about it together and coming up with this plan for how we could fundraise to support it and what it could look like, it was just one of those moments where it was, yes, it still felt kind of crazy, but it also felt maybe possible. And so just sort of had to take that leap. And I'm really glad that I did.
Did you have any, and I'll ask you both this question, but since you're already talking, I'll start with you. Did you have any book selling experience before this?
A tiny bit. I worked at Borders when I was in college, when Borders was still a thing as a bookseller. I have what I refer to as a checkered past. So I was a a university instructor for a number of years after I went to graduate school. So I taught ESL at the university level for quite a long time. And then when I moved back to New Mexico, I was living in Portland, Oregon at that point. When I moved back to New Mexico, I moved into working in healthcare. And so I was doing leadership development retreats and so on for physicians for a healthcare organization here. Transitioned out of that work and did project management for quite a long time. And I was finding like, well, this is very good and stable, but it was also not necessarily what I wanted to be spending all of my life doing. So again, when this came up, I sort of jumped at the opportunity. And what I found is a lot of those skill sets weren't necessarily directly related to the bookstore world, but they certainly have been helpful in terms of everything that we've done here. So it's been a wild year. I'm never bored. But that's a good thing for me. Robert has a lot more experience in the book world than I
do. Yeah. What's your origin story with the shop?
Yeah. So I've been here since November 2021. So I was hired by the previous owners just as a bookseller. And I have bookstore experience going back to high school. I worked at a used bookstore in, I'm from Oklahoma, so it was in the Tulsa area. I worked at a little used bookstore for 3.5, 4 years from like 2006, 2010. And then I worked at Barnes & Noble in the college town in Norman. I worked there from 2010 to 2013. So I did, you know, bookselling for 7 years all through high school and college. And then I worked in coffee shops. I managed a Starbucks for 4 years and then worked just at one of the local shops here in town, Trifecta. Shout out Trifecta if you're ever in the Albuquerque area and you want good coffee, go to Trifecta. I'm still really good friends with the owners there. But, you know, my degree's in professional writing. I love books. I've always been a big reader. And so when I was just in the shop getting a book for my wife, I happened to see that they were hiring at the time and, you know, threw my name in the ring. And I've been happy here as a bookseller for a long time. And when the previous managers stepped down, I was very fortunate that Shannon and Nancy came to me and asked if I wanted to step up. So it's been very good taking this role. And it feels like one of those things that's kind of been meant to be because I had the bookstore experience and I've had the managing retail experience. So getting to do both of those has really been a lot of fun.
This is going to be a big question probably, but as somebody who has worked, you know, in a used shop, in a chain bookshop, and now an indie that carries mostly new, I mean, what are some of the, I guess, differences that you've experienced with the different types of store?
Yeah, this feels like the best combination of the used book store that I worked at and, you know, Barnes & Noble that I worked at. Mm-hmm. Because with the used store, you know, when you're working on credit and in that store specifically, there were a ton of regulars that we had. And I loved working at that store. It was funny because I was like a 16-year-old kid and a ton of the regulars were all like romance readers. So it's all these people reading, you know, Nora Roberts and that kind of stuff. And I got to know that side of stuff really well. Like I know every big romance author from 2006. It still have burned into my brain. But that taught me a lot about how do you talk to people about books, even when you don't necessarily read their genre. Like I never read any of those books, but I could have somebody come in and say, hey, I've read this author and this author. Is there something else that you can recommend? And I could, because I could just put the patterns together of I'm seeing lots of customers reading this type of stuff. So that one was really community-based and we got to know those regulars. They, you know, I still talk to the original owners of that store sometimes. That store is not around anymore, sadly. But I really, really loved that environment, but it was used. And so you weren't dealing in the same way that like when I was at Barnes & Noble, then you're getting into like, you're getting to be a part of like when new releases are happening getting to kind of be a little more involved in what is happening in the publishing world. And so that was really cool on that side of things to kind of get a little more current and get a new perspective on the publishing world and what people are reading in that way. But Barnes & Noble is so big that it doesn't feel as community base. Like I had some regulars, but you're also just, you know, you're seeing tons of people all the time and you don't have as much say in like what is on the shelves at Barnes Noble as you do in a store like this, where, you know, Barnes Noble, we did the best we had. We had like a small staff pick section that we could do end caps with occasionally. We could do a few shelf talkers here and there. But, you know, for the most part, inventory is decided by people way above you. And getting
I've
to
had
be...
some people on that have worked in chains that are now at Indies, and they said the same kind of thing. And even like display, how you display them is often out of your hands.
Yeah, there's like you have a little bit of wiggle room. And so it is interesting, like for me now going into different Barnes and Noble and other cities and seeing like what they do with their space. That's still pretty interesting to me, just as somebody who worked in Barnes and Noble for long enough that I like to see kind of like the little bits of flavor that each of those stores is able to bring to it. Because you do have a lot of really awesome, you know, passionate booksellers that work there and they do what they can within the system. But what's great about being here is we have, you know, we have direct relationship with the publishers. And even before I took over as the manager, I mean, I was doing a decent amount of the book buying, specifically like sci-fi and fantasy. And so we really get to decide what is on our shelves and we get to decide how we display it. And so it really reflects us as, you know, booksellers, as a staff, and it reflects the community that's here, you know, in the neighborhood we're in and the people that come in. So it's really the best of both worlds, getting to work in an independent like this that is new book based, because we do get to be the store that people are coming to primarily for new release books. If they're looking for a deal on, you know, whatever it is, then they might go to one of the used bookstores. But we're kind of the local spot for new books.
So what sells well for you?
Well, our literary fiction always does really well. Our sci-fi fantasy section does quite well, especially given its footprint. We sell a ton of children's books. That section is a major seller for us as well. We do some local stuff too, and have a pretty robust Southwest section, both fiction and nonfiction. We do a lot of focus on Indigenous writers. So it's a little bit of everything, but I would say those are some of our top categories.
Yeah.
Have I missed anything?
No, I think that's really it. I think the main thing of what sells well for us is whatever we can talk about is kind of what's going to be what sells. And that's been one of my primary focus has been, how do we make sure that the store reflects our tastes along with the community taste? And so like our staff pick wall, it has a big mix of stuff. We've got picture books on there, and then we've got horror on there. We've got, nonfiction on there, biography, everything kind of on there. And whatever we put up there, people will stop and look at, and they'll see how we try to sell it to them, how we, you know, what we like about it. And they're willing to take a chance on it because we've recommended it. And that's probably the thing that I'm most proud of in our store, is the way that customers walk in, look around, and see all the stuff that we've put shelf talkers on and recommended. And that really helps drive sales for them. And then the children's section specifically has been really good for us. I've seen more and more young like families coming in, and that has been really rewarding. I have two kids of my own, so I get to do a lot of that buying and curating in that section. So I love seeing that section do as well as it has.
I was just going to add, the shelf talkers, that's something that I hear anecdotally from customers all the time, just how much they love reading them and love seeing. And it's feedback that I get on our email newsletter as well, just how much people appreciate the recommendations that we give. And so that kind of dialogue that happens is really important. And just a big part of what we do, I think.
I opened my own shop where I live last year. And it is amazing how far a shelf talker can take an otherwise book that probably wouldn't catch anybody's attention. It's really fascinating to see. Now, we've talked about the community and your customers a bit, and I want to dive into, I was on your website calendar. You have a pretty robust event schedule. Tell me about some of the things you do to you know, involve the community.
Oh, gosh. Well, yes, we do have a really robust events calendar. And we do a lot of focus on local and regional authors as well as national ones. And we do a lot of collaborative events as well. And so one of the things that I think I'm proudest of is some of the partnerships that we have with other community organizations that help support, you know, they support the store, but they also support those organizations as well and help make sure that we have even deeper roots here. So, for example, we partner with the Albuquerque Public Library Foundation to do a series called Award with Writers that actually functions as a benefit for the libraries. And we tend to host larger name national authors for that series. It was started originally in 2013. And paused during COVID, and then we relaunched it last summer with Colson Whitehead, which was super exciting and a lot
pretty
of fun.
Big name to get.
Yeah, it was that was
a very cool event.
Yeah, and that was our first major offsite, and it was it was awesome. It was super fun. And then we hosted Michael Cunningham for that same series earlier this year. We're hosting Hampton Sides for it in April, and so that is kind of our largest event series. And I think the fact that it's connected to the library makes it especially meaningful for the community. We always get, you know, again, a ton of positive feedback of how people love being a part of that and love supporting it. We have another collaborative event series that focuses on nature and environmental writing, which is a big part of our community here and a big part, you know, something that's really of importance to a lot of our customers and a lot of our readers. So that's a partnership with the Leopold Writing Program, which is part of the Aldo Leopold Foundation. And we've got two events in that series coming up later this month, both focused on the first one, which is this week, is on wild carnivores of New Mexico, which is also by a local press. So again, kind of tying into those community roots and those partnerships. And then the other one is a series of essays. And then other events and other kind of community partnerships. We've started working with a number of breweries in town to do book fairs for grownups at breweries, and that's been really fun. And I'm trying to think of anything else that I'm missing in terms of kind of collaborative things.
That's everything that I can think of.
Offhand. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm kind of looking back at our events calendar.
Listeners, that I didn't even register it when I asked the question, yeah. But the calendar is right behind you physically.
Yeah. There's a calendar, so you can see it in all of its glory and kind of all of the various things that we're doing. This month is mostly focused on local New Mexican writers. We've got a poet this Sunday who's going to be really amazing. We've got a really interesting event with Deborah Taffa, who's an Indigenous writer and also the director of the MFA program up at IAIA in Santa Fe, who's going to be here for her new memoir. We're hosting Stephen Graham Jones at the end of the month, which is going to be really cool. And he's going to be in conversation with another really amazing local author, Ramona Emerson. She's Navajo. She wrote a book called Shudder that came out a couple of years ago. That's really incredible. So really, I mean, really focusing a lot on local authors and the folks who are really going to speak to people in this region, as well as, again, attracting some of those kind of larger national names. Bookworks has always... We've been really lucky. The original owner, Nancy Rutland, really put Bookworks on the map for national events in a really major way. The first event that was ever hosted at the store was actually Martha Stewart for a wedding event, which is kind of wild to think about now. So the Bookworks name, while Albuquerque in New Mexico may not necessarily attract that many people, we've been lucky that we have kind of a long history with Bookworks that we can... sort of pull from to attract some authors who might not otherwise come here.
I'm going to ask a very selfish question because we're about to do this for the first time at my shop, adult book fair.
Yeah.
Any tips? Any tips or advice?
It's so much fun. Staff picks like mad.
Yeah.
So we tend to focus really heavily on books that we just genuinely love and can talk about with real passion. Take shelf talkers, take materials to build displays, take sidelines, take so many stickers. You will not believe how many stickers you sell.
What are some of your sidelines, by the way, that you carry?
Oh, stickers.
Yeah.
Like mad.
Yeah.
Stickers for vast quantities of stickers. And again, we try to focus on like local artists or stuff that you might not find elsewhere. So try to keep it really sort of niche. And then a huge range of stuff, cards and calendars and journals and pens and mugs and a few little kitchenware things. We do a tea collaboration with a local company, with the New Mexico Tea Company. And so we have Bookworks tea blends that we sell here. Yeah. And then we kind of plug into various like topical things. So Albuquerque is known for the International Balloon Fiesta. So if you come visit us in the fall, you'll see a ton of balloon themed stuff. And then we don't tend to do much in the way of like toys and things like that, but we do carry folk mammoth puppets.
Yeah.
And those are wildly, insanely popular.
Now you talked, we've talked a bit about the power of a shelf talker and your staff picks. So one of my favorite questions, and both of you can answer this, what are some of your favorite books to hand sell if somebody comes in and just wants a recommendation from you?
So lately, I mean, this last year, it's been Titanium Noir by Nick Harkaway. That book is just incredibly fun. The two genres that I really, really like are science fiction and then hard-boiled detective fiction, and it's just an incredible mashup of that. So I get to talk to people that are primarily sci-fi readers and then kind of get them hooked into the detective genre. And then people who are more detective readers who don't read a ton of sci-fi, and I can kind of like sneak them into the sci-fi world. So I've enjoyed selling that one a lot. I like to sell Lonesome Dove. That's one of my favorite books of all time, and getting people to, you know, the thing that I always tell people is like, you don't have to like Westerns. They'll always say, I don't like Westerns. Like this is like saying you don't like gangster movies and refusing to watch The Godfather. Like Lonesome Dove is so good. So I love doing that. And then any picture book, like getting to sell, you know, like We Don't Eat Our Classmates is one of my favorites that I've read to my son for years. And The Dragons Love Tacos book. So getting to sell those has always been a lot of fun.
Shannon, what about you?
Oh, it's so hard to choose. I mean, obviously, it depends on what the person comes in looking for. I read a ton of everything, but I read a ton of literary fiction in particular. Kate Atkinson, Life After Life, is one of my all-time favorite books. And so I'll often recommend that one to people if they haven't read it. It's kind of one of my must-reads. I've been really excited this year so far, and I always get confused because I'm often reading, you know, galleys of what's coming out later this year. So I'm like, wait, has this come out yet, or is it going to come out soon?
That's okay. Preview one coming out later.
If I can preview one that's coming out later, The Ministry of Time by Kellyanne Bradley is fabulous. It's coming out from Simon & Schuster, I think in May, and it reminds me a little bit of Connie Willis, who's one of my favorite authors as well, just in terms of that kind of like slightly madcap nature, and it focuses a little bit on time travel. But the premise is basically that the main character is the handler for a refugee from the past. And so time travel is possible. We're able to bring people forward from the past if they were going to, you know, essentially die in their timeline there. And it's like, how do they interact with this world that they find themselves in? And so the characters are really amazing, and the plot is just really propulsive and incredible. And then I also read a ton of like nature writing. I love H's for Hawk by Helen MacDonald. It's just a simply extraordinary and beautiful book. And another one that I love recommending to people is The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating, just because it's so unexpected. It's a very, very slim little novel by a woman who was basically bedridden for a year due to some mysterious illness. And she had a friend bring her a snail, and it lived in a terrarium next to her bed. And she just observed it for a year. And it's a really incredible book.
I want to go back and ask something, because you mentioned that the original owner you're still in contact with, right?
Yeah.
And I know you can't speak for her, but what are her thoughts on how far the shop has come since those days? Do you know?
Gosh, I don't know if I could necessarily put it into words. She's much better than I think I could ever be at sort of letting go. She's seen it go through various iterations. I know that she's pleased that it's still a part of the community. I know that she's pleased that it's still continuing to thrive. And so I can say that much, at least.
does she pop into the store and you're like, oh, here she comes. We got to roll out the red carpet.
Yep. I'm like, there's Nancy. Make sure you say hello.
How does, and you touched on this earlier, but to sort of bring it around home again, how do you feel as somebody who grew up shopping at the store to now, you know, be there at the end of the day, you're turning off the lights, you're looking around and you're like, I'm part owner of this place now. How does that feel for you?
It's pretty amazing. The level of responsibility is pretty unreal. Definitely keeps me up at night. Especially given the fact that this is the store's 40th year. I want to be part of its continued success. And a lot of the last year has been kind of rebuilding it as part of the community and making sure that we're really well positioned for the future. And so that kind of that weight of responsibility is definitely a real part of it. But it's really, really incredible to be able to be a part of the community in this way and to be able to help shape, again, kind of the literary and arts community in Albuquerque to this extent. You know, Robert was saying that we really are kind of the main place that people come for new books. And that's really, that's an incredible honor to be able to kind of guide people in their journeys as they're reading. And, you know, when we have kids who are coming in here and excited to look at the kids section, and we know that they're going to grow up being a part of this story as well. Just being able to play that role in people's lives is incredibly special.
I think you said it was October when the store originally opened. Yep. I mean, we're quite a ways from that, but is there anything you can tease about the 40th birthday that you're hoping to do?
There will be cake. I can tell you that much. There will be cake and books.
So we're taping this in March. It's coming out in March. What's coming up for spring or summer? Any kind of, you already touched on some of the events, but is there anything you want to tease, promote that's coming down the pike soon?
Oh, goodness. Lots more events, obviously. Some fun partnerships that we're doing. Another one of those grown-up book fairs. Indie Bookstore Day is obviously a huge day for us at the end of April. So we'll be doing fun stuff then. And a very special shout out, good catch. One of our longtime booksellers, Deb Green, who is also one of our behind the scenes partners in the store, is a debut novelist. And her first book is coming out. It comes out on April 9th. It's called No More Empty Spaces. And it is a fabulous read. And we're hosting her launch on April 13th. And that's going to be one of the most special events that we do this year, hands down.
Nice. Congratulations to her.
I will pass that along. She'll be thrilled to.
So I always wrap up each show with this next question, and it has to do with the concept that I've heard for years. Bookshops are magical places. So I always ask each guest, when you hear the phrase a bookshop's a magical place, what does that conjure in your mind?
I mean, just kind of the idea that anything's possible, you don't know what's going to happen. I think Shannon's story of the idea that, like, she was here seeing Brian Jakes as a kid for Redwall, which that's a series that I love tremendously and I'm extremely jealous of the fact that she got to be that.
He was awesome.
You know, that it's like you experienced that as a kid and then however many years later, you come back and you're an owner. You know, it's like that is something where so many journeys start in bookstores picking up books. I could, you know, Redwall was one of those series for me that, like, I remember when I got into that series, that was when, like, when I got money for birthdays, I was going in and getting, you know, the next Redwall book that I hadn't read yet. And so I get to see that a lot in the kids section of kids coming in and being really excited about books. And I think that is just kind of incredible seeing, you know, them so young get excited about books and know that they're going to continue that as they get older. So that's kind of what I think of when I think of bookstores being magical.
One of those kids might be you someday, Shannon.
Yeah. I always think of books as portals, right? They're ways to go somewhere that we might not otherwise ever get to visit. Whether it's a time in history or a time in the future or just some other world entirely. Or just somebody else's brain, right? Somebody else's way of thinking and experiencing the world that I don't know, can be really magical, for lack of a better word. It's just incredible how you can take just words on paper and have it be so transporting and so, you know, transformational in some cases. I think that's what I tend to think of.
I'm getting close to 60 episodes of this show, and I always tell folks, even if the answers are similar in vein, none of them feel repetitive to me. It's always so fascinating to hear people's thoughts on that. I want to thank both of you for being on the show today. Before we go, tell folks where they can find you. Give us your physical address, your web address, your social media handles, all that stuff.
Yeah, so our physical address, we are in Albuquerque's North Valley. We are at 4022 Rio Grande, just north of Rio Grande and Griegos. It's a really pretty little spot. And then online, we are Bookworks ABQ on Instagram and Facebook, all of our social media. And then our web address, bookworksabq.com or bkwrks.com.
Well, thanks again to both of you for being on the show, and happy 40th birthday this year.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Bookstore Explorer is produced and hosted by me, Matt Browning. Our theme song is Come Right Back to You by Max Hickson. Follow along with the blog version at bookstoreexplorer.com and at Bookstore Explorer on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.